All right, everybody, if you would, find your places this morning in the Bible in Matthew 28. We've already gone there one time this morning during the early portion. We're going to take time this morning to look at the ministry of Jesus Christ as it was in the four Gospels. And we're going to look at things there that hopefully because of what you've learned over the last few years about the dispensation of grace, about the mysteries, that this stuff will be kind of eye-opening to you for you to see the differences and the distinctions. The only way that you can take these doctrines that come out of these four Gospels and make them reconciled to what God gave Paul, what Christ gave Paul, is you have to do one or two or three things. You have to just completely mutilate and twist the Scriptures. You have to be an all-out liar. Or you have to come up with some mystical spiritual program of your own to make it work. All three are wrong. There's only one answer. Rightly divide the word of truth. Understanding what Christ gave to Paul during the dispensation of grace of God does not line up with all the doctrine that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is according to prophecy. Paul's letters are according to mystery. One was known, spoken of by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. The other one was hidden, kept a secret. It was a mystery until revealed to Paul. And we get the revelation through Paul's writings. Now those two things are just different. Okay? But what we're going to do, because what happens sometimes when you teach what we teach, people say you negate the words of Christ because you don't use the red letters. Folks, we use all the letters. And we go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We believe the book. But we don't twist the Scriptures so it will line up with what we teach. What we do, we line up our teaching to go along with what the Bible is teaching. And hadn't always done that, right? There was many of us who were in denominational circles and we saw passages that said, you know what, that don't really say that, but the pastor says that it means this or it means that. Well, you better get away from what the pastor's thinking and get a hold of what God's truly saying. Okay? Because what saith the Word of God is the importance. And you can't understand it, and you can't get the doctrinal meaning of it if you don't rightly divide the Word of truth. There are things that are different in the Word of God. They're spoken to different people at different times, different purposes. God in His nature changes not. He's God. But God, throughout time, as we've said many times, has changed His dealings with men. And you can see that early in the Word of God, okay? So in this time in which we live, which is the dispensation of the grace of God, God has given doctrine to the Apostle Paul to write. They're the words of God, okay? Every letter in the book could be read, if you're going to go by that principle, because it's all inspired by God. Okay, it's not Paul inspired, it's not Matthew inspired, it's not John inspired, it's God inspired. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to give due diligence, we want to take the time to look at the ministry of Jesus. Okay, some of this is going to be redundant to you, but we're going somewhere, I promise. Maybe not even this week we won't get to our destination. Maybe ever, but we're going to try to lay out something for you. All right, so the first thing we want to do, we want to look at who Jesus, who His audience is. Who is He speaking to when He's speaking in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? All right, good. Y'all already, you're halfway home. All right, then we're going to look at His teachings. Then we're going to look at His miracles. And then we're going to look at the gospel that He preached. Okay? Now, I would say this. If a person has studied the Bible at all, and they have really believed what the Bible says, that when we show these things on this side of the cross, okay, that if they were to really get into Romans through Philemon and begin to study those books, they would see that there's something different. They would see that God changed the program, if you will. They would see that God brought something new to light, to revelation. All right? So let us pray. Then we're going to go into Matthew. And then we're going to read a couple verses there. And then we're going to spring forth into our study. So let us pray. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for another day to come together to fellowship over your word, to teach what saith the word of God, to compare spiritual things with spiritual, to rightly divide the word of truth. We just pray, Lord, for your help and the spirit of meekness, and Lord, that we deliver it with grace, that we help someone see the distinctions that are in the word of God. For all that we are in Christ Jesus, we give you the praise, thanks, honor, and glory, and everyone did say, amen. All right, so in Matthew chapter 28, go back. We're going to read the same verses that we read earlier, and then we're going to start hitting some passages here. In chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we all know that Jesus Christ has not and is not exercising all his power in the earth today, right? Because it's the God of this world that's blinding the hearts of those and the minds who believe not. But there's coming a day when he will exercise all his power over heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All right. Now, the list that we're going to put together, it's a decent-sized list, but let it be known, it's not all, okay? You can't do it all. But what we're going to do is as much as we can to try to get the picture painted for you. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Okay? See that? So there is a teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he's telling them there that they must observe, and they're going to go out and teach other nations at some point. But first, let's establish the audience in which Jesus Christ is speaking to. Go to Romans chapter 9. The most upsetting thing to a person who has grown up in denominational churches and venues, because most denominations teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John almost every week, is that when you come along and say, sir, Jesus wasn't talking to you. You are a heretic. You need to be put away. You need, something's wrong with him. Can I tell you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, sir, Jesus was not talking to you. Are there spiritual applications to doctrine that Jesus spoke that can be used today in the dispensation of the grace of God? Amen. But can I tell you one last time, in Jesus' earthly ministry, he was not speaking to you directly. Okay? Everybody got that?
Yes.
All right. So who was he speaking to? Well, let's let the Bible tell us. 9:1 of Romans. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Somebody just wrecked a car. They heard what we said, that Jesus wasn't speaking to them, right? I'm going to be responsible for a car accident. I was listening to that fool, and I'm going to be responsible for somebody's wife getting thrown out of the house or something. But anyway, it's God that said it, not I. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Watch verse 5 closely. Who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. According to that verse, Who did Christ come to in the flesh? That's pretty easy, isn't it? Jesus' audience in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Israel. Okay? Don't buy in to the guy who went to school and he's come up with a map telling you that Jesus got on a 747 and flew to other places and taught. Listen, folks, Jesus came to Israel. Okay, you with me? In the flesh, he came to Israel. Gentiles were given up on in Genesis chapter 11, and they are still out there without hope, without covenants, without promise in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You with me? Where is an unsafe place to go build you a church? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's the majority of people doing today in church? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And your head is spinning when somebody starts to give you Paul's doctrine. It did mine. I'm saying you probably know better than I was. Romans 15 and 8. Romans 15 and 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Who was Jesus ministering to in his earthly ministry? The circumcised Jews. All right, let me teach you something right there real quick. If you do not have a King James Bible, likely that verse says this: I say that Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision. That's what that corrupted Bible version will teach you. Okay? Has become. That's not what the Bible says. It says he was a minister of the circumcision. He has not become a minister of the circumcision in the dispensation of the grace of God. He was a minister to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You with me? So he was. All right. So if Paul's writings were inspired by God, who's the audience of Jesus Christ's ministry? All right? Well, that just don't marry up with my doctrine. Then throw your doctrine out and get the Bible. All right? That's what's going to matter. Okay. Matthew 15. Everybody probably quote this right away before you ever see it. But let's let Jesus say who his audience is. Of Matthew. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Jesus looked at her and said, Thank you, Gentile, for worshiping me. I will lift you up and take you in and make you part of my body. That's not what he said at all, is it? But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who's Jesus' audience? Well, Donnie, if you'll go to school, you'll realize that that has to be translated again. Unto us Gentiles. No, Jesus knew plainly who he came to in the flesh. He came to Israel in the flesh. Okay? All right, so are we good with Jesus' audience? All right, so now, listen for just a little start here. When you're reading, and there's absolutely, folks, nothing wrong with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, so do a little study here for yourself and put something in your mind and your heart. When I go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's the first thing that I must consider? Who's the audience? You know what I did years past? Because I was taught that way, I was wiggling myself into them verses. And you know the ones I wiggled myself into? The blessings. You know when I saw the cursings, what I did? That blows the Israel. It's got to. You know, I'm blessed, I'm saved, I'm all this, and I'm all that. You know, and then I'd sit there and I'd say, oh boy, that's good stuff over here. I'm getting the kingdom over here. And then I'd see something bad. I'd say, that's got to be Israel. And one day out of frustration, I said, who in the world could ever understand the Bible if you got to take one verse and I'm in Israel and one verse I'm in me? You can't do that. How confusing is that? Then I heard a man teaching how to rightly divide the word of truth. And I realized that the audience of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as precious as those books are, all of those authors are Jewish authors writing by the inspiration of God about an earthly kingdom to a nation, Israel. So now when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what do I not do? I do not put myself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If I see a spiritual application that I can apply, okay, then I'm okay with that. But the church world doesn't understand the difference between spiritual application and sound doctrine. So they take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and paint you into the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Preach it and slobber it and sling it around like it means nothing. Folks, there's true doctrine and real doctrine in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to the little flock and to Israel in general. Right? All right, so let's go and look at some things that Jesus taught. And I'll show you how you can start to see that it's not body of Christ doctrine. Okay? In Paul's epistles, on that side of the cross, did Paul ever teach over here that Jew and Gentile are separated? What did he say? We're all one. Am I right? Okay, so just for reference, we're not going to turn there, but I'll write the reference. In Galatians 3:26, he said we're all one. Did he not? Everybody with me? In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said we're all put into one body. Baptized into one body. In Romans 12:4, he said we're all one body. Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. Am I right about the Bible? Okay. Did Paul teach separation, Israel and Gentile? No, he said we're all one now. All right. What did Christ teach? Let's go look. Go into the Matthew chapter 10. I'm not trying to be rude, but here's what's happened to us. We esteemed a man, whoever he was, pastor, preacher, teacher, in time past, and we just believed he was this great preacher, great teacher, and we, whatever he was preaching to us, we just, amen, 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 amen. But we didn't go behind him and study the Bible for ourselves to sit and say, hey, you skipped over something. Wait a minute, man, you skipped over something. So watch here. We're going to now deal with some teachings of Christ. Watch here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. He just has anointed the disciples, the 12, and gave them power. Now watch what he says in verse 5, 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. In any city of the Samaritans, enter you not. Did Jesus just make a distinction and a separation between Jew and Gentile? Yes. All right. Jesus taught separation. Well, let me do it this way. Jew and Gentile. He just made a distinction that they are separate. What did he give Paul? There's no difference. Is there a difference here? Yes. Amen. All right, go up with to John 4:22. I told my wife this morning and last night that today is going to be very different from what we've been doing the last year or two, going back to when we first started to go slower to get people to see this. We've got more activity on our videos than we ever have. And we want to explain the scriptures so people can see this stuff vividly for themselves. And some have never seen it, because some are sitting under a guy they esteem as, he's my pastor, my preacher, I love him, but he's skipping over verses. He's not showing you what he ought to be showing you. All right? So this is the account encounter with Jesus Christ with the woman at the well. Look at verse 22. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the... Did Jesus just make a distinction between Jew and Gentile? According to that verse, who was salvation to? All right, so separation. In the dispensation of grace, did Paul ever teach that salvation now was to the Jews only? He didn't, did he? What he said is for the obedience of faith to all nations, right? All right, to the Jew first. All right, go with me to Mark chapter 7. Just about everything you're going to look at today will come out of the four Gospels. All right, go to Mark 7:24, starting there. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. In that verse, the Gentiles are metaphorically referred to as dogs. The children in that verse would be his audience, Israel. Amen. You with me? So Jesus taught over here, Gentiles, metaphorically, dogs. And that don't mean they were all running around with a tongue hung out and had a collar on, and some were spotted and some were German shepherds and that. And he's metaphorically calling them dogs. Why? That was their lifestyle, folks. That's what they were. Okay, the pits of society. They were cast off. Genesis 11, there again. Okay, all right. So we see here some teachings of Christ. Christ taught separation between Jew and Gentile. Do you know how many people preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as church doctrine? The church, the body of Christ, is one. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. How could you go back here, teach those books, and tell a member of the body of Christ that's him? When Christ himself just said, I've come only to Israel, salvation is of the Jews, do not go to the Gentiles, there's a separation between Jew and Gentile, that cannot be the church, the body of Christ. There is a church being formed here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the little flock. That messianic church, it's being formed. There was a church back in the wilderness, the Mosaic church. We see church and our mind locks down, there's only one. We see baptism, our mind locks down, there's only one. No, there's more than one church in your Bible. This messianic church is being formed by Christ, and it's not about them believing that Christ has died for their sins, been buried, and rose again. It's about them believing on His name. So let's look at a couple more things that Jesus taught. I can tell you that Jesus taught law. Look at Matthew 5:17 and 18. Matthew 5, 17, 18. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, there you go. We're under law today. No. He took that out of the way for us, nailed it to his cross because it was never given to us anyway. When he resumes Hebrews through Revelation, his dealing with Israel, it'll come back in it. He'll have a form of the law. He'll put it in them. He'll cause them to walk in his statutes and his judgments. Right? So therefore, all the law going all the way out to the kingdom and in the kingdom will be fulfilled. Today, we're not under law, but we are under grace. Should we know the law? Absolutely. All right. Jesus also taught in his earthly ministry conditional forgiveness. Look at Matthew chapter 6. It's amazing because in Matthew chapter 6 is where people get what they call the Lord's Prayer. It's the apostles' prayer that he gave them to pray. But what they won't do, even those who say they believe in eternal security, won't read verse 14. In its right context, watch what he says. For if you forgive me, you see the word if? Is that conditional? Okay. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is that conditional? All right. Now, here's the art. Go match that up with Ephesians 4 and 30. And what does it say? That we should forgive because what? We've already been forgiven. Has nothing to do with me forgiving you to get forgiveness. Jesus Christ has done the work. God's already forgiven me all my trespasses. And it's not conditional. Right? Do you see, under law, the program is if. Under grace, the program is done. Oh, I know the religious man ain't going to believe that because he's gone to four schools. He's lived 50 years under a program to tell him how to twist the scriptures. Right? I'm not here for all that. I'm here to show you the Word of God. And if you don't learn to compare spiritual things with spiritual, that God has made a distinction and a difference between what was going on back here than what He gave Paul on the other side of the cross, then you are, most people, miserable. And you can fake it till you make it. But I'm telling you what, you're miserable in your heart. Because you're going to read these verses and say, there's somebody I'm still mad at. And I really ain't got over that yet. Now, am I saved or not? And I'm not teaching you to be mad at people and hold grudges, right? But some of us, be honest, there's some people that we kind of like slid them to the side, right? And when you bring them up, it makes even the hair on my head stand up. That's a miracle. I threw that in for free. All right? Jesus Christ also taught Levitical sacrifice. Turn to Matthew 8. Start at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Now watch, folks. And they took him to the doctor, and they put a salve on it, and they wrapped it in bandages, and 6 months later, we had a miracle. Not what it says, is it? It says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That's what happened in the Bible when Jesus performed a miracle. You didn't wait to get the doctor's report. Jesus said, let it be done, and it was what? It was done. There's your miracles. We're going to deal with that here before we quit too. Now watch this. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. What are we going to do with that? The dispensation of grace. I just got healed. Where's the closest priest? Well, Donnie, you got to realize the priest is now the pastor. No, my back foot. Priest is the priest here. It's still going on. The priesthood of Israel is still functioning in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The body is not under a priest. We don't report to a priest. We have no nation over us which we must go through to get to God. Amen. And offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, so he said, now you've been healed. Go to the priest. Offer the sacrifice that Moses said to offer. Oh, is this too simple? I mean, okay. Look at Matthew 23:23. Jesus also taught tithing. Well, we're good with that. We need that money. Don't let go of that one. Let go of all the law, but keep that tithing. No, Paul said a man give us so that he has purposed in his own heart, so let him give. You're not under a law of tithe. Well, Malachi said, read verse 1 of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1. We won't do that today, but you read it. It's about Israel under law. All right. 23:23 of Matthew. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to have been done and not to leave the other undone. So that anise and that cumin is also two plants that are used for incense. So tithing and incense taught there in 23:23 of Matthew. Right? Now they don't want you to bring incense into the building, but you can bring the tithe into the building, bring it into the storehouse. I wonder what would happen if you just went in with a bunch of incense one day and sat back at your pew and lit it up and had smoke flowing and said, I'm worshiping under law back here. Leave me alone. It smells good. Now, see, we get silly, but when you teach the Bible outside of its context and outside of its dispensation, it gets silly, doesn't it? Because men don't really do what these books say. All right? So now what we're going to do, we see that Jesus taught there was a separation from Jew and Gentile, metaphorical dogs. He taught the law. He taught the Levitical sacrifice. He taught tithing and incense. None of that stuff is taught and given to Paul to teach us in the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay? So now what we're going to do with, we're going to deal with some of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Now, if you'll take the verses I'm getting ready to show you, you'll be smarter than 99.9% of the denominational people who deal with miracles in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. And here's what I want you to do. I never want you to read the Bible, if you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without knowing these verses in your mind. So you may want to write them down. So when you go broke, you don't have any money, and you go in your closet and close the door and turn the light off, and you get to praying that God's going to drop a suitcase of $100 bills, you better know what the Bible says about miracles. When you snap your leg out here ice skating here in a couple weeks when we get a good ice storm, and you're just going to sit on the couch and not go to the doctor and pray that God straighten your leg out and everything will be okay, you better know what God says about the miracles. So I never want you to read, and I'm being sarcastic and funny there, but listen, I never want you to read the Bible on miracles and get all Pentecostal about it until you know what the Bible says. And I know what they always say. Donnie, you don't believe God can do miracles? God can do anything He wants to do. He's God. But I know what God's doing. That's the difference. I know what He was doing back here, and I even know why He was doing it. So if you go to John 20, 30 and 31, don't ever forget it when you're reading about the miracles. And you got some buzzard who hadn't come up to the right of the divine of the word of truth wanting to tell you how he laid hands on a cow and it got up and started giving chocolate milk and all that. You're going to know that that's all phony, and you're going to need to go to the Word of God and say, hey man, I know why Jesus was doing miracles. Okay? I know. I'm not ignorant. I know what God's doing. So watch here. Verse 30. At many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again. That's not what it says. What does it say? But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through what? His death, burial, and resurrection? Through His name. That was the issue back there, folks, that they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. You understand that, right? Hey, we got the very account. Look at Matthew 16 real quick. Matthew 16. We got the very account of the chief apostle of the 12, Peter. He understands that Jesus is what that verse just said. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But has no clue that Jesus is going to die for anybody's sin. Well, was he still an apostle? Was he appointed of God? Was he anointed of God? Was he sent out to preach? Amen. So Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, verse 16, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See that? Well, now look down here in verse 20. Now you in chapter 16 of Matthew. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Do what? Read that again. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Stop what you're doing, boys. Don't tell them any further that I'm the Christ. Does it say that? Yeah. Jesus said, stop. I've done the miracles. I've sent you out. You've done this. You've done this. Now, right now, what I want you to do is just don't do that anymore for now. Watch what he says here in 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." And Peter says, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, that's the message you're going to give Paul in a dispensation of grace, and it's going to save all our souls, and we're so excited to hear it." "No, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be unto thee." Peter believes he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, "You've answered well, for flesh and blood did not reveal it, but my Father which is in heaven." But Peter was clueless of the cross of Christ. He was clueless of the death, burial, and resurrection. Right? So did Jesus appoint the apostles based on they understood Paul's gospel or not? They absolutely didn't understand Paul's gospel. But they were appointed to preach. Okay? Everybody with me so far? All right, so then, look back at John and look at 21. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So Jesus did a lot of work in his earthly ministry, a lot of miracles. If I were to ask you this morning why Jesus did all those miracles, I hope you could answer me John 20, 30, and 31. So that those Jews would believe that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing on him, they would have life through his name. That's the issue with John 3, 16, 17, and 18, by the way. All right, you with me? All right, so you see the miracles. We see some miracles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, and this is why I told you don't ever read these books without considering why the miracles were. Because I see some of you in here that if you were to try this one, the next call I'm going to get is to show up to your funeral because you drowned. Matthew 14, look at 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So Jesus walked on water. Don't try that at home. You will sink, and you know you will. Some of you, I'm afraid, probably tried it in time past. John chapter 2. Jesus walked on water to be a showboat. What does John 20, 30, and 31 tell you? He walked on water to do what? That was a miracle. That they might believe. I heard, and I'll just put this in, it won't charge you any extra. There's a guy somewhere, South Africa, wherever it was, went to walk on water to prove to his congregation that he could and got ate by crocodiles.
That's false prophet.
That's a dead prophet. He should have read John 20, 30, 31. Right? John chapter 2. Look at verse 6. And there were set forth there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews. A little water baptism going on it there. Containing two or three berskins apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up with the brim, to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So Jesus turned the water into wine. Now everybody at the rescue mission would use that miracle if they could. And bless their hearts, I'm not picking on them. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, and they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." He raised the dead. According to the passage, why did he raise him? So that they would believe. False videos all over YouTube. People trying to raise the dead. You know what they are? If they were dead, they're still dead. If they weren't, they were faking it. I ain't faking being dead. I'm faking a lot of stuff. I ain't faking that. The greatest miracle of all that I believe that Jesus Christ did in the four Gospels, go back and look at Mark. Look at Mark chapter 2. I told y'all this is a little bit like it used to be when y'all liked me. Leonard says, "I ain't there yet." Y'all got it? Mark 2, starting at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He can forgive sin. That's a great one, boys. forgiveness of sin. That's the greatest miracle. That's our miracle today. We believe the gospel, trust Christ as our Savior. Greatest miracle of all, He's taken care of all of our sin forever. That's the miracle of today, folks, is seeing a man that is transferred from death unto life, from darkness unto light. Okay? All right. I'm going to finish up, and I know this has gone on for a little while, but I'm going to finish up. We have the audience of Christ. We have His teachings of the law, tithing, sacrifice, separation of Jew and Gentile. All those things, by the way, cannot be the same as what He gave the Apostle Paul in the 13 books that He gave Paul to the body of Christ. Can't be. All right? And then here, we see the miracles of Christ. We understand the miracles of Christ. He walked on water. He turned the water into wine. He raised the dead. He forgave sin. He cleansed the lepers. He did all that stuff. Okay? We know why He did it. Right? To validate the messenger and to validate the message. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now what I want to show you is this. Jesus Christ was preaching a gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what I thought I would do is go a little bit backwards with that. Go with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. This is where a lot of denominations go back to say this is why we preach this gospel. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, there's a great place to get it because there's the beginning. But look down at verse 14, let's see what gospel He's preaching. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What would they believe in that verse? They can't believe the death, burial, and resurrection that hasn't been revealed yet. That's right. Believe He's the Messiah to Israel, right? So what gospel, according to the Bible, is Jesus preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. Well, that's the same thing. No, it's not. We'll show you. Gospel of the kingdom. All right? Paul's gospel is what? How Christ died, buried, and He rose. Am I right? Right? Jesus tells these people in Mark 1 to believe the gospel. Well, they're going to believe He died, buried, and rose? Going to die, buried, and rose? Look at Mark chapter 9. Jesus takes them up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Look over at verse 8. They come down. And suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus, only themselves, with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Watch verse 10. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with the other what the rising from the dead should mean. So what were they going to believe in Mark 1 and 14? Not that He was dying for their sins, going to be buried and raised again. They were going to believe that He was Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the prophesied Messiah to Israel, and then follow Him. What? Follow His teachings. Right? Let the miracles validate who He is. But the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, and I challenge any man that's been to school, any man that studied the Bible, you will not find John the Baptist preaching the death, burial, and resurrection for the souls of men. You will not find Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preaching the death, burial, and resurrection for the souls of men. You will not find Peter preaching the death, burial, and resurrection for the souls of men. They knew it not, folks. All right? Look at Matthew 4:23. Leonard's faking a coughing attack like I'm going to stop what I'm doing, but I'm not. Somebody drag him outside, get him some air. I'm with you, brother. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. So the gospel of the kingdom is followed by what? Miracles. Right? Is your gospel followed by miracles, signs and wonders? The miracle is you're saved, right? All right, so go with me up to Matthew 9. You know, somebody might say, Donnie, you're taking way too long to do this, and man, you know, really, but listen, there was a man on TV by the name of Les Feldick who was taking his time doing this, and you know what it did? It helped me to come to the truth. And there might just be one person out there that catches this video and says, oh my, I see it. Thank God he took his time. Right? Now you may be wanting to get to Bojangles. Watch here in 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What followed that gospel? Miracles. All right, look at Matthew 10. Look at verse 5 again. 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only to those. Watch. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So what are they preaching? The cross? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They still don't know about the cross. Right? Gospel of the kingdom, what follows it? Miracles. Y'all with me so far? Look at Matthew 11. Here, it's sent unto Christ. Let's just read it. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's all that about? That's John 20 and 30, right? 31. That they would believe that he was the Messiah based on the works that he had done, the miracles he had done. Okay? In Mark chapter 1, it says in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you one verse outside of the gospels. Look at Hebrews. Look at the book of Hebrews and look at chapter 2. And I've heard message after message preached on this without the understanding of what he's even talking about. Chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. So in those passages there, the book is named Hebrews. Who do you think the audience is? What salvation are they looking for? The one to come, the kingdom message. What gospel do you think is being preached? What did Jesus begin to preach? The Scripture said, spoken by the Lord from the beginning, Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what gospel was Jesus preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. So Hebrews, it's pretty safe to say that they need to believe what? The gospel of the kingdom. Okay, everybody with me? So you can put Hebrews over here. What would be a good thing not to do in the book of Hebrews? To think you're a Hebrew. Just keep it simple. Alright? So I'm going to finish off, and I know some of y'all might clap, but listen. Matthew 24, go with me there, and we're close to the end. I know this has been lengthy today, but it's a good Bible study, I think, to help you see some distinctions here. Alright? The gospel that was given unto Paul, what did Paul call it? The gospel of the grace of God, right? It wasn't called the gospel of the kingdom, was it? You know why? Because it's not. If you look at the spelling of all those words, they're all different. The gospel of the kingdom preached to Israel was preached without the cross. It was preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Repent and be baptized for remission of sin. The gospel of the grace of God given unto Paul says, believe that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for our justification. Right? They're different. It's all about the cross. It's the preaching of the cross. How can you have a gospel that's not preaching the power of the cross be the same as the gospel that's preaching that the power is in the cross? They're two different things. And that's okay. God knew what He was doing, and He knows what He's doing. All right, but look here in Matthew chapter 24. And this is what most people think they're doing today. And this gospel, verse 14, 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Colossians 1, 23, Paul said his gospel had been preached to the world, but the end did not come. What did that tell you? Two different gospels. Okay? After the church is called out and we go back to dealing with the Hebrews, it's going to be the gospel of the kingdom. When the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to all nations, then what? The end's going to come. Okay? Go with me to Matthew 26. Now, these men who claim they're preaching their gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you ought to highlight this, you ought to record this, then you ought to show it to them and say, I never heard this from you. I never have heard this from you. I never heard it from a preacher ever. Ever did I ever hear it from a preacher who said he was preaching the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Never did I hear it. But watch what happens. Look at verse 7. 26 and 7 of Matthew. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she have wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she had did it for my burial. Now watch this. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her. Have you ever heard anybody do that? I'm going to preach you the gospel. Let me tell you about Mary. Let me tell you about the alabaster box. You never heard it, and I haven't either. But they're all preaching the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Was Jesus clear that wherever that gospel got preached, that they should make a memorial of Mary? Huh? I mean, it's red letters now. We believe the red letters till it don't agree with us. That's red letters. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but that's probably not that important. Well, Jesus spoke it. So you can go ahead and decide what was important, what wasn't, but I'm going to say it's all important. All right, in closing out this morning, go back with me to the book of Mark, chapter 13. And look at verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, that the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing wherein he ought not, let him that readeth understand. And then let them be in Judea, flee to the mountains, and none of you live in Judea. Right? Not for you. All right? We're going to finish off with this here. And what Jesus was preaching was not what he gave Paul to later preach for the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist came out delivering the gospel of the kingdom. Peter and the 12 were sent to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Paul was sent and commissioned to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And it doesn't flow through a nation. It doesn't come by blessing Israel. It comes by believing what Christ did on the cross for our sin. All right? So Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay? We said that the gospel of the kingdom, what followed it? Miracles. Right? Miracles. Healing. All that business. What gospel do you think they're going to be preaching in Mark 16, 15 and 16? What follows that gospel? Miracles, right? That's going to be preached before the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. What's being preached now is the gospel of the grace of God. It comes without signs. It comes without miracles. We walk not by sight. We walk by faith, right? So if a person would believe the book, could they see that Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was to Israel, circumcised Jews, the house of Israel? Hebrews through Revelation is what? Right? So then, Jesus taught separation from Jew and Gentile, Gentiles metaphorically dogs, taught the law, taught Levitical sacrifice, taught going to the temple, never weighed from any of that business, right? All done under law, right? Comes over and says, why the miracles were being performed, walking on water, doing the water into wine, raising the dead, forgiving man's sin, doing all the miracles he did that they would believe that he was the Messiah. They rejected him, right? Comes forth and preaches, he's preaching the whole time, the gospel of the kingdom. Nowhere ever in the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you ever see anybody say, read where they say, and he died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day for your justification, that anybody and everybody without Israel could be saved through that message. It never happens. Don't care how long you study the book, it's not there. You have to lie about it. Okay? And we're not going to do that. On this side of the cross, all of that has shifted to everything spiritual, every bit of it. Baptism, spiritual, the miracles, they've ceased. They've ceased. They have ceased. Quit faking your miracles, man. Guy laying at Baptist Hospital for 6 months and getting up, that's not a miracle out of the Bible, right? Yeah, could you go down and lay hands on them, put oil on them? I can go down and put Mobile One on them. It ain't going to help them. Right? If God wants them to come out, then that'd be between Him and God and His mercy upon them, right? But it ain't about me going down and putting oil upon them. Well, you don't believe the Bible. I believe all the Bible. I just don't believe all the Bible is to me and about me, and I can't practice all the Bible, because if I could, the other day, I'd have gone out and got gopher wood and some nails and a hammer, and I'd have started building a boat. Because it rained and it rained. It was supposed to have been snow, but it wasn't. It was rain. Right? Folks, you got to get where God is in the Bible. And your message is in Romans 2, Philemon. A lengthy study, but we used to do this, by the way, 2 and 3 hours. And y'all, I'm going to order some pillows. I'm going to make y'all as comfortable as I can. But I'm trying to get people to see the Word, what happens when you understand the ministry that was given unto Paul. Jesus Christ was preaching to Israel in his earthly ministry. Reappeared and gave Paul an abundance of revelation to the church, the body of Christ. There's no body of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can't be because there's separation. One's above the other. The Jews were above us back there. All right. So you would be wrong to go back and pray, "My Father, which is in heaven," Matthew chapter 6, because he wasn't your father, Matthew chapter 6. You were still out there without law, without covenants, without hope, without promise, right? Without God in the world. All right, so let us pray and we'll dismiss. Father, we're so grateful for another teaching, another opportunity to do so. We thank you for the Word of God and what it means to us when we're rightly divided, when we see the truths that are in the Scripture according to sound doctrine. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you for all we are in Christ. We give you all the honor and all the glory. And everyone said, Amen.